On Monday, we read from your letters. During our program on the problems facing the assisted living industry, Roger Annenson emailed us. He's the activity director at an assisted living facility and wanted to make sure the discussion didn't just focus on issues of physical safety. A serious problem with assisted living is what the residents do once they're placed in their new environment. They're slowly breaking their cognitive hips with nothing to really do but bingo and birthdays. We have incorporated the nation's first comprehensive memory enhancement program with a full-time mem aerobics program. This is the future, allowing the ALF resident to mentally age in place. Margaret also wrote in during that show with suggestions for the industry. Camps for kids come in all varieties, she wrote. Why not have assisted living facilities with different missions and purposes? For instance, assisted living for lifelong fitness buffs, assisted living for people like that mother-in-law, assisted living for musicians, etc. I should mention here that Susan Stamberg has long championed the idea of the Shady Radio rest home. Claudia Smith of Houston, Texas, wrote in during our program on ham radio, I grew up with a father who spoke to people all over the world in the 1950s. He was a rocket scientist working at Los Alamos and talking to Moscow during the McCarthy era. I didn't understand the courage and intellectual drive of that act until I took political history and learned about the paranoia of the time. We had a very large relief map on the wall next to his radio set where he could stick pins after he'd spoken with someone in a foreign country. He then used that map to teach his three children both physical and cultural geography. And all of us can still find obscure places on a map. Two other emails we received during our show on ham radio were destined to find each other. From Paul in La Jolla, California, I have three kids, 13, 10, and 8, and I want to teach them ham radio. Could your guest direct me how to start? Well, as often happens on Talk of the Nation, another listener had the answer. AA6BS, also known as Rick Stern, wrote to tell us about his introduction to ham radio class for kids. And Rick Stern joins us now from his office, and thanks for joining us.
Okay, Neil.
So where should Paul start if he wants to get his kids interested in ham radio?
A number of places. Probably the first place I'd recommend is an organization of hams called the ARRL, and they're on the web at www.arrl.org, and they can help him find a club in the local area. And most hams and clubs, or a lot of them, are willing to become elmers, which are basically mentors, and can go ahead and help direct him to the right teaching materials, as well as figure out what kind of equipment his kids may need over the first few years of their ham radio careers.
Paul's youngest, he writes, is 8. Is that too young?
No, I don't think so. There are often hams as young as, I think the earliest I remember is 5 or 6.
Now, is this expensive?
It's not too expensive. Just getting licensed, the test is $12. Study materials may cost about $20. And then equipment can run sort of the whole gamut. If you can find used equipment, it's often $100 to $200. New equipment, depending on what you want to do, is $250 on up. The sky's the limit, like a lot of expensive hobbies that can be expensive.
What is the appeal, do you think, for kids?
For kids, it's just the it's something different that a lot of other kids aren't into right now. They can go ahead and talk to each other. It's a little bit different than the cell phones that a lot of kids are getting nowadays. And also, they can go ahead and talk to both other kids and adults in the local area and around the country, and even get into some emergency assistance type of activity.
Rick, thanks for joining us.
Okay, thank you, Neil.
Rick Stern teaches ham radio classes to kids in Cupertino, California. And finally, our segment with Charles Osgood on funny letters from famous people brought in this email from Diane. She's a great fan of the TV show NYPD Blue, and at the end of one season was inspired to write to Stephen Bochco. Her note, dashed off on a 3x3 post-it note, expressed the hope that Bochco could get a bigger budget and therefore avoid having to air so many reruns. To my surprise, writes Diane, I got a letter from Stephen Bochco on his NYPD Blue stationery that said, I too hope we get a bigger budget for next season, and I hope you'll get one too, so you can afford bigger stationery. Still like the theme from Hill Street Blues better. We read from your emails every Monday. The best way to reach us is totn@npr.org. Remember to put the topic in the subject line and please include where you're writing from, your name, and a tip on pronunciation. Talk of the Nation is produced by Susan Lund, Setsuko Sato, Justine Kennan, Alicia Montgomery, and Megan Williams. Chad Campbell directs our program. Brendan Banizak is our production assistant. Kevin Waits, the technical director, he gets help from Vince Muse, Kimberly Jones, and Mitch Eaton. Ellen Silva is the senior editor. Sue Goodwin, the senior producer. And the executive producer of Talk of the Nation is Leith Bishop. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.